Good morning, everyone. It is such a delight to be together as Discovery folks of this current chapter, and we've been kind of calling it alumni from other eras. So good to share in this celebration together. I'm Neil Jaspers, the transitional pastor, concluding at the end of this month. I think the bulletin, the order of worship says Pastor Tom Swieringa will be leading us in sort of a retrospective, looking at the history, God's goodness and faithfulness. Reverend Kevin Scuddy will be leading us in communion, and also our own Marge Terpstra will share a little testimony of how God has blessed her in the life of Discovery. People who've been here during my 10 months or so know that I like to share a little humor on the day. And one of my favorite types of humor is bulletin bloopers. It's amazing what gets by church secretaries or administrators. So here's one. So notice, Barbara remains in the hospital and needs some transfusions. She is having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Jack's sermons. So I'm going to be checking that nobody's sleeping here on me today. Today is a day of great celebration. It's also a parting of paths in the life of Discovery as well. And so I thought it would be fitting to open the theme of Simply Inseparable. So I'm going to invite you to stand as we read God's Word from Romans 8, 35 to 39. So the words of the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Friends, sometimes separation is a good thing. I remember, wise parents know this, I remember cramming our family of six into a station wagon to head off for a summer camping trip. And four brothers squeezed together in the back seat over a lengthy trip can start fussing and poking and irritating each other. What did my parents do when things sort of boiled over? Separated them. The main culprit would be summoned up front between my mom and dad. Sometimes separation is a good thing, but often separation is sad. I think of a little tyke being dropped off at daycare for the very first time. She fusses and sobs as if her little heart will break. She doesn't want to be separated from mom or dad for even a morning. Separation. San Diego is the home to one of the largest U.S. naval bases. Some years ago, my son in the Marines sailed off on a 7-month deployment. I think she wants to sail off somewhere too. And he's sailing off for 7-month deployment on one of the Navy ships, and the docks there in San Diego are lined with people, girlfriends, spouses, children. And there's lots of waving and tears and body-racking sobs about being separated for so long. Separation is one of the most sad and painful human experiences. And of course, it's not just physical distance that separates us. There's also emotional distance. A husband and wife separated by an unresolved conflict. Children separated from a divorced parent. Teens separated by cliques at school. Competing protesters separated by their rival causes. So physical and emotional distance separate us, and death separates us permanently. I'll never forget one morning getting a call at my church office. It was about a teacher from our church who hadn't shown up at our local Christian school. Brian was 29. He was single. He loved teaching and his students, and they loved him. But Brian, that morning, simply hadn't shown up. And the secretary didn't know what to do. She said, "Will you come?" I headed straight over to his house. Police had arrived and forced open the door, and they found him lifeless in bed. He had simply died in his sleep. And as his pastor, the principal asked if I would break the news to his fellow teachers and his students. What a shock. Then came the tears. Never again to see that favorite teacher around in school again. So life in a sin-broken world is full of painful separations. How reassuring then to hear these words from the Apostle Paul: "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" Shall trouble. The first area Paul lists, God's word acknowledges that life has trouble, so it shouldn't surprise us. And perhaps some of you gathered here this morning are facing some trouble. It may not be large, but it's real. Some trouble at home, some trouble at school, some trouble at work, some trouble with your health. And no matter what the trouble, don't let it discourage you. Don't let it defeat you. Let the gospel certainty of Romans 8 provide perspective. Nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here I think of Corrie Ten Boom. She helped with the Dutch resistance against the Nazis during World War II. And one day the Gestapo arrested her. They carted her off like a cow to a concentration camp. And there she was stripped, humiliated, subjected to hardships that caused others to lose all hope. But not even the concentration camp could separate Corrie from the love of God. Such was her experience of God's incredible love that after the war, it led to a compelling gospel ministry. Shall trouble, Paul begins with, or sword, bookends, is the last area he mentions. The sword, of course, was a weapon of war. Today we have guns and bombs. In effect, Paul asks, can the horrors of a mass shooting separate us from God? Can the horrors of war and lingering PTSD separate us from the love of God? Since my son joined the Marines, those questions have hit a lot closer to home. Can anything, here's the bottom line, can anything at all separate us from the love of God? And the resounding answer is no. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that's a pretty sweeping claim, isn't it? A pretty sweeping claim, but if anyone had the right to make that claim, it was the Apostle Paul. When Paul finally bowed the knee to Jesus, what happened? He was rejected. He became an outcast, separated from his family, from his fellow Pharisees, from his people. And eventually, Paul made his way into the early church, despite his reputation as a terrible persecutor, became a leader in Antioch, the church there. But then we read, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they fasted and prayed, they sent them off. Separation. And Paul's missionary journeys then led to a regular pattern of separations. He'd preach the gospel in some city, he'd gather a group of believers who accepted the good news, and then he grew close to them. He loved his brothers and sisters in Christ, but then he moved on to share the gospel somewhere else. All those separations were not easy for Paul. What a comfort for him. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And think too how important for the Christians that he's writing to in Rome, how important for them to hear. Caesar would brook no rivals. Caesar demanded ultimate loyalty. So Christians, with their first loyalty to Jesus, were often suspect. They were seized. They were condemned to prison or death. What a reassurance that not even death could separate them from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Separation. Here's another kind of separation, the worst of all. Separation from God. God, after all, is the source of life and love and beauty. So separation from God is the most sad, painful reality of human existence. In the beginning, God created humankind to be in perfect fellowship with him. He walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the garden. But then they disobeyed, they ate the forbidden fruit, and soon they were evicted from the garden. You can only imagine the overwhelming sense of loss and bitterness at that separation from God. And friends, we still face the same fallout today. As Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "Your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you." So like Adam and Eve, our sin can separate us from God, the true source of life and love and beauty. And I think of all the people around us in the world, people who are struggling to find a sense of identity and purpose and hope all by themselves, apart from God. And final separation from God really is the essence of hell. Hell is not so much a place as it is a condition. In his book, The Great Divorce, C.S. Lewis pictures hell as utter separation and isolation. In the book, he describes human contrariness and selfishness that keeps causing them to move apart farther and farther. And finally, They're only remote specks in the universe, light years away, in the darkness, utterly alone. A picture of final separation from God. But brothers and sisters, here is the good news. God didn't let separation have the last word. As Ephesians 2 puts it, now in Christ, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. So this is the gospel, brought near through the blood of Christ. On the cross, Jesus bore the penalty for our sins. On the cross, Jesus took away our sins, and with our sins out of the way, we can be reconciled to God, reunited with Him. No more separation. So this is a good time to ask you, where do you stand with God? Just because you're here on a celebration at Discovery doesn't guarantee, honestly, where do you stand with God? And perhaps some here have been doing your own thing, going your own way, and keeping a certain distance from God. If so, turn to Jesus. His death on the cross can bring you near to God, brought near. And then nothing can separate you from the love of God. And finally, this morning, this message has special significance for the Discovery Church family. Today we, of course, celebrate God's goodness and grace over 33 years of life and ministry. But today also marks a parting of ways. It marks a separation. Some will continue on as Discovery Church, others will not. They'll seek other churches. And the reasons vary. Some have family needs and reasons that they need to tend to. Some don't share the traditional stance against same-sex marriage. Others feel constricted by elders and deacons having to sign on to every dot of our confessions. Whatever the reasons, there will be a separation. There will be a rending that no one really wanted. No one really wanted that when we began this season of transition. Pastor Mary Sternberg mentioned that one of the early taglines for Discovery Church was, "Let there be love shared among us." And that's been the experience for 30 years. People have been accepted and loved. And now to face this separation is hard. It's painful. It's grievous. And yes, no one is leaving town. We hope to stay in touch, but it won't be the same. I think of two guys who often get together Saturday mornings for some coffee and conversation, now separating ways in terms of church. It's painful. But what a comfort that nothing can separate us from the love of God. I think of someone who's mentored a guy in our church who has come a long ways. Now separation, it's painful. Still, what a comfort that nothing can separate us from the love of God. I think of someone who's seen what was a kid in the church grow up and now display gifted leadership in various ways. But now separation, it's painful. But what a comfort that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Separation from God is one of the most sad and painful of human experiences, and sooner or later, all of us face separations of one kind or another. Maybe it's a kid heading off to a college in a distant location. Maybe it's a job that's been terminated with all the relationships there. Maybe divorce, maybe death. It's hard. It's hard. But brothers and sisters, here is abiding comfort that should ring in our minds now and always, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And for this we say, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me a moment? God, thank you for your word, for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. Romans 8 is a sort of Yosemite Valley of Scripture, chock full of grand truths. And we stand in awe at the wonderful convictions of this passage that we've considered this morning. Lord, we do grieve separations in this sin-broken world. We look forward to a life to come where there will be no more separations. We grieve the causes of separation. But we thank you that even now in this life, as we face these separations, we have you, your abiding presence, the confidence that nothing can separate us from your love. Lord, if there's anyone here who is struggling with some separation, who faces some trouble, pray that this word would sink deep into their minds and hearts, that they would not be discouraged, they would not be defeated, but that this gospel perspective would have the overarching word, that we would be people of love and joy because we experience your love, that nothing can separate us from. We pray all this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.